And welcome here on your number one talk radio station of Eagle FM. And this is your business and economic zone here on your number one talk radio station. Well, before I repeated that sentence, but still, we had to emphasize it because that's what we do. We bring you the in-depth discussions here on your number one talk radio station. Emphasis on talk. Now, as we've had a jam-packed day today in terms of all the news-making items. However, the most essential one of them that actually carries some weight into, or leverages its weight into, this session of the Business and Economic Zone, of the BEZ, has to do what happened earlier at State House that we brought to you on the Business at 2, just after the On the Radar. That had been the Fourth Industrial Revolution's feedback coming from the task force by the same name, giving it to the head of state, that being President Geigel. Now, I'll indicate to you one thing. President Geigel was impressed, firstly. That's part of the audios that you did not hear. He was impressed. However, it's not him being impressed that I want to share with you. It's the scale and also the one key component that comes through in this next, in this drive for the Fourth Industrial Revolution that we as a world and as a country are looking at. Because what we are looking at, what we are looking at is a major change from foundation all the way to the most highest leaf you can find on a tree, from the most deepest root all the way to the highest branch or tree or leaf of the tree. The tree that has to take us and also has to help us bridge and get into that Fourth Industrial Revolution zone, mindset, discussion. What else? Well, what else am I missing? Sort of like the whole economic drive with regards to it. Now, remember here, guys, the fourth IR, and this has been much of my concern, and this has been concerns that I've indicated to in earlier editions or earlier sessions of the BEZ, because I was indicating, I was actually sounding a little bit of an alarm, a major alarm bell, in terms of if we are saying let's get into the 4IR drive or into the 4IR mindset of things, what happens to people? What happens to the labor component? But that was one of my concerns. The other concern that I have not touched on the BEZ had been the role of education. Because let's face it, education itself, even though it looks like a very basic approach, a very basic and standard subject topic or subject matter or subject matter that's very basic in its nature, education has a profound impact on a society and on a society's ability to be economic or to get economically active or to get economically involved. What do I mean by this? Well, today's session, well, this is actually the first part of the session because it's so broad that I have to break it down, is how research and development adds to economic growth. Now, I've got two research papers open up here in front of me. One authored in 2015 by the OECD. The OECD is the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. The second one is a academic research paper that was written by a gentleman for the University of Peshawar in India. That's now for a researcher there by the name of Jangrais Khan. But this research paper that Jangrais Khan wrote was as of this year, 2022. No, sorry, also 2015. Also the same date, same parameter, time limit. In 2015. Now remember, the one key thing, or let me share with you, the one key thing that came out from the feedback of earlier today between between Professor Anicia Peters, from who is sort of like, who was in charge of the Fourth Industrial Revolution Task Force, and this is what she indicated herself, where she said, research and development is a key component of anything, of any component in an economic sense. research and development. Now, you might be frowning. You might be going, what? R&D? R&D is a key component for economic, you know, you can say transformation, economic development, economic growth. You can use any label that you want to associate with the word economic and also with the thought of research and development. However, we've got to stress this. What do I mean by that? What do I mean by that? And I'll actually start backwards to front, that the impact that was looked at by both these research papers that I've got open in front of me actually resonates with what Peters had indicated at that information session, or, you know, indicating to the powers that be what they've actually got to look at. Now, research and development, guys, provides not just a depth to skill sets, it also provides a depth to the information within a society or within an economy. What do I mean by this? This means information that had been generated or data generated relevant to Namibian needs and Namibian problems and Namibian issues is there for everyone to tap into and then further use to make decisions. Well, you've got to make decisions. What is that phrase they use? Informed decisions. Or you've got to have informed decision making. Remember, you don't just want people making decisions in terms of it's a judgment call or it's a call in terms of that's based upon urgency or immediacy. You've got to have information at hand that guides you in terms of what decision you have to take. What decision you have to take. Still, you might ask me, what does R&D have to do with this component of 4IR? Well, R&D is key because R&D finds new technologies of doing something, new methods of doing something, new approaches to these technologies and methods as well. I gave you just in two to three weeks back the discussion here on the BEZ in terms of how you can change a business process. Oh, sorry, no, it wasn't the BEZ, it was on the brand conversation, where you can innovate a business process, a process of doing something. And you can innovate on a method of just what you were doing, a method of doing a job. Now, let's factor this in, guys. The first paper that I'm looking at is the one from the OECD, where in this document, notes, and this is just from the sort of like the first background component that I'm looking at. Actually, it's the abstract itself, or not the abstract. The executive summary and the abstract they carry similar weight. However, the researchers for the OECD for this paper realized from another. Kukurugana yowamba, kukuningsa ozere, nukusespika nompito domgara mokagura mkisigemeke, ramangako uwera o HIV. Ayo kupoperan tani kuirugana maokoko. Tokoras gara, ninka wakurugane yowamba. Moktura mwe hundiro liye yowamba zuma okoko, ndi mwagwana kuma pukuru gomanzi. Tumako WhatsApp kwa numero zoe utantandatu zime, ntatwe utantane, mbali ntane. Ndi dingurako Facebook kwa VMMC Namibia.
Now coming back from that brief break, where I left off was the researchers for the OECD paper that I've got open up here in front of me motivated their thinking, motivated their question, their hypothesis in terms of, does R&D impact economic growth or does R&D help with economic growth? Whichever direction you want to take. Firstly, they realized from another researcher who back in 1956 indicated that the importance of research and development as a driver of technological change, innovation, and economic growth, and that this researcher known as Robert Solow gave major impetus to theoretical and empirical research on economic impacts of R&D investments. So first and foremost, this means this is not a new thing that we're looking at. This is an old concept. This is a concept that is it is more than 50 years old. So you might be asking me, what does this entail, Dwight? Well, importance, or putting importance on, or emphasis, key emphasis on the research and development and how this can contribute back into the economic, overall economic picture of a country or society. And remember, I'm extrapolating now from what happened earlier today in terms of that was specific to us. But let's apply it in the sense of a country. Well, it actually does have to do with a country, but let's take the identity of Namibia out of the equation and we just say on a country scale. So what does this country scale allow us to do? This means it allows specifically for various kinds of economic activity to take place. You see, guys, here on Eagle FM, we've extensively explored, you know, what happens to unemployed graduates in our country, the impacts of the education system, and how, what kind of graduate will it deliver at the end of a tertiary institution's product offering, when that graduate says now they qualify from the high school phase, they get into the university or vocational institute phase, and they complete, you know, that tertiary institution's level of training. And then the question from there is, then what happens then from after that, when they are released? You know, they are released from their programs. Now, the major concern there has been, is there an absorption rate? I've explored that question here on Eagle FM, whether it be on the BEZ as of like now, as well as also on some of the in-depth discussion points. At one stage, it was on, I think, on the Home Run earlier this year. And even my fellow commentator and colleague, Inomenwa, and also Kanjengo, indicated that there is some sort of a disconnect that might occur. That might. Listen, you still have to point out the disconnect. But it's a question of, it might occur. Because graduates will be leaving school. Learners will be finishing high school. And then you still have, you know, those unfortunate learners learners that decide to fall out in terms of the sort of like basic education platforms and basic education development. They for one or other reason, they can't continue and they can't make it anymore. And it's at that level that we critically analyze how will this overall concept of 4IR contribute to economic development and growth. Now let's understand this. There was a similar rhetoric, not a similar rhetoric, but there was a similar motivation coming through from the 4IR task team, that there has to be some amendments that needs to be instituted. These amendments come in the forms of either some one or other type of tax relief to one or other kind of investment-friendly environment, to one or other kind of policy-friendly environment or framework, or policy framework that makes the research and development environment in our country friendly, to empowering various governmental agencies and departments and ministries to be strengthened in identifying their role, their importance in a specific zone, so that they can carry their weight in taking this discussion forward. From there on, it's also taking into consideration, you know, how will the information flow work? You then spin off into other concerns and other situations. And I'm not even going to talk about the education side as yet, because the education side will be for tomorrow night. Let me stress that. The education component will be for tomorrow night. But the research and development component for now, is currently at such an imbalanced scenario in terms of where we as a country and also the continent at large is dependent upon other sources of R&D. Other countries that have built up their R&D skill set, or that have developed or brought up their research and development industry, because it is an industry itself. It is an industry itself. You test products, you test theories, you test new technologies, you test new kinds of ways of doing something. And in all or at every level, that contributes, that is almost like its own business environment, its own industry itself, that breathes, generates income, and also employs, and also further on enables the strengthening of, well, if you had to look at it, it strengthens on a scientific level. Now, what were some of the key things that we've got to look at? I'll give you actually a story from a book that I read, and I've mentioned this book before. It's the book written by the two Stevens that I have at home in my library. It's the guys from Freakonomics. Now, this book's name, that one that I own, that I read, is Think Like a Freak. And no, guys, this is not anything in terms of being naughty or in any other kind of way, being, you know, malicious or some kind of just being for jokes. This book proposed a different kind of mentality. It's a mentality, actually. It's a mentality in terms of, it speaks to innovation on one side, and it speaks to the concept of testing ideas, testing concepts, testing ways of, or processes, or doing, or ways of doing things. Because let's understand this, guys. A process itself is not complete. A technology might come along and replace an entire process that potentially employed 5 people. A technology can come along and do the job of 5 people in a process. Or there was a process and the technology comes and takes or eliminates that entire process, thereby taking and eliminating the 5 jobs that were associated to it. Now remember, with research and development, this is also about changing. Not actually changing, but actually strengthening the research, or the research-based industry in our country. Understand this, guys. An industry is not just a component of where either you get economic actors in the forms of the private sector and then the public sector that are in the same space or operate in the same industrial vacuum. No. The research industry itself is also an important sector. It might not be a direct service sector, but it still is a sector that produces results, that employs people, that invests in new processes, that has investments in infrastructure, that has investments in new ways of doing things and facilities, that looks to move skills or bring in skills and knowledge-based workers, that aims to bring in or incorporate or even to amplify a specific kind of component. For example, let's say it was what? Let's choose the specific research facility that is there at UNAM. The what's the one's name? The students that I met 2 years back in 2020. The marine, you study to become a marine biologist at that specific school in UNAM. I forgot this department or this course name, but it was so key in terms of understanding that the students themselves indicated that they are part of a program wherein there is no one that can absorb their skills. And Namibia sits with marine life, marine biological ecosystems, or marine-based ecosystems, and also anything having to do with the natural environment of the ocean, of the sea, of the Atlantic Ocean, that is on our western coast. And these students indicated that they've only gone for internships and they can only look for employment somewhere else. This was back in 2020 when I began here at Eagle FM, when I met these students, in terms of one of my first stories had to do. Now, the key thing there is, guys, what I'm indicating to you in a story, and this is now my second story, apart from the Think Like a Freak book, is that these students indicated that there is a course, there is a skill set that they're acquiring that cannot be employed or that cannot be applied or be implemented in the broader Namibian economic cycle or broader economic space. One of the students indicated then that a lot of the fishing companies that operate in Namibian waters that are foreign-based or that have offices or satellite offices only here, if they have to make use of a marine biologist or the scientist associated to that department, you know, to what they could do, this person came from Spain or from wherever in Europe or from wherever else in the planet, collects data on Namibia or Namibia's marine life and marine resources, compiles the reports, and then they leave with that data. That's what those students told us. Now, do you see how key it is wherein if you have a department that generates a skill set, but your skill set cannot be employed or applied in the broader Namibian sense or broader in economic space, you are losing out on the potential of implementation and generating your own information for your own needs. And this is where research and development comes in. You see, I'm just on the basics of research and development, meaning pre-R&D, wherein someone like a student has to be trained. Now, that's still on the education aspect of it, where someone has to be trained. But when that person has been trained, and the one lady that I met there was actually on her master's or doctorate level. She was going for her doctorate or something like that. But she couldn't study the doctorate here. She can only work in conjunction with her previous alma mater, which was UNAM, and then also she actually had to generate most of her work for her other alma mater, wherein she was doing her advanced degree. And that was another conundrum itself, because that information that Namibian was generating was not going to stay here in Namibia. That information was going to shift somewhere else. Now, you see, when you come to me and you say, yeah, but then put an embargo on someone that is studying...
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
The International University of Management, IUM, Witete umbo no namba no wishi wefaguja. Oma intirorongo oturataya academic year 2023. Okwa patruka, ende rirapa ife ulikole paparoe mo education. Ukarolongi fikora, ile ugufe o health and social science. Osho oma ifano information and communication technology. O strategic management and leadership. Na atai monika no tourism. Osho hospitality and event management. Business administration ikuterera. Environmental studies and postgraduate studies at Shota de Monica. Where are they? Monica ko website www.ium.edu.na. You are the point below the IUM, the Kulipo Pepe. More Venduka, Monko Renguru, Monko Diva, no Mompae, Ota de Monica. Where are the two Hangi Kongo de Venduka? 061 ongodi ne natonatu oma vedi hamano inda komesho kufetokoro li rimonjira toi komona kuiwa inerao pamwena IUM.
Now, coming back from our extended break right there, the key thing where I left off with that anecdote, that example of having a whole department that skills and trains someone to provide a vital service in a specifically strategic and important sector of our country. Remember, my information is but 2 years old because I last spoke to those students back in 2020. But skilling someone up, whereby they cannot be absorbed on a broader or in an economic sense in our country not only speaks of levels, but it also speaks of how do you make use of key data and information, packets, distribution points, knowledge bases, or silos that are generated by these kinds of graduates or students. Now, I know that one sentence was a bit long-winded in its direction where it wanted to end, but I had to select the vocabulary very, you know, very carefully. I had to select it very carefully because the most important thing is a university can do one thing. They can do their own thing. But if you have a private sector component where you don't know what the private sector guys might be doing, then we all sit there with, you know, our hands in the air. Second on that is also what I wanted to stress just before the ad break, you know, crept up on me was, if you come and you tell me, yeah, but Dwight, let's put an embargo on, you know, generating research and information points here in the country that doesn't benefit Namibia or it's not implicated or used or applied here. But here's the thing, you cannot actually stop that. That is probably so counterproductive, that approach or that specific reasoning, that you will actually suffer more resistance and more pushback than you would have ever anticipated. And why do I stress this? There was one example with regards to, if you guys remember back when this access to information bill or component or discussion point began way back in, was it 2014, 2013, when the government indicated that anyone that does research in Namibia needs permission from, I think it was the Line Ministry, MICT at that stage, before it was still MIT, no, Ministry of Information, yeah, MOI. You can look it up. You will still find those old articles. And there was a lot of pushback because people were making jokes by saying, listen, that would mean that even a primary school child that has to do an assignment at home needs to ask for permission to go and do their assignment. That's exactly the kind of pushback that was generated because people went like, but that's ridiculous. You cannot demand something like that. You cannot also stop people from doing research in their own languages. For example, someone might come here on a holiday visa as a from Spain or from Italy or from China or from Japan, do their research in their language, compile the whole data sets and all that stuff. I don't like using data because data is unprocessed information. Compile all that information, put it in a report, and it's in their language, whether it be in Kanji, whether it be in Mandarin, whether it be in Spanish or Italian. You would not know. You would not know because we've got we are using English. You would not know who has what information about us. Now remember, research and development is a process that generates its own information. Research and development aims to assist and aims to develop and aims to grow economic activity. Now here's the key thing. Here's the key thing. And I can't go into everything that I heard and saw earlier today in terms of the fourth industrial revolution task force's presentation. I can't go into everything because I have to break it up into these episodes for the rest of this week so that you can get the broad picture. Remember, so that you can get the broad picture. But essentially, and this is just to stress what R&D aims to do. The OECD paper mentions that securing empirical evidence, empirical being scientific evidence, on the magnitude that research and development impacts and challenges or channels through which R&D promotes economic growth is a necessary first step for assessing the likely impact of public support for R&D and other policies intended to encourage R&D and innovation. Now, the public aspect mentioned here has been how governments have to buy in to understanding that research and development is key and a buy-in. Buying in is not encased to just, you know, a financial transaction or investment. A buy-in, what I'm implying by, is that there is a different approach at looking at something. using a different perspective at economic growth. A different perspective at looking at economic growth, meaning boosting a specific component in a country's economy. This can be through a policy framework, legislation framework, or even just direct financial frameworks. For example, taxes. How to either relaxing on taxes or providing a different tax framework for companies that will look at R&D development. Now, here's the thing. It will completely change your understanding in terms of why the fourth industrial revolution team were looking at R&D. You see, R&D is a key component in terms of amplifying the importance of the information generated. It's not about just, okay, let's say the R&D does this and we can now manufacture this kind of product or this kind of element in our country that helps with, firstly, providing value, let's say, to the agricultural sector, or providing value to the fishing sector, or providing value to the mining sector, or providing value to Namibia's retail and business sector or consumer sectors. It's not just about that. It's that this research and development sector is something that does not stay quiet. It constantly keeps moving like a car's engine. The pistons constantly have to keep moving up and down to generate the combustion or to facilitate the combustion process that keeps the engine running, that keeps the car moving, that generates the force or the centrifugal force in order for the car to move forward, to make the wheels turn. I might have used the word centrifugal a bit wrong or incorrectly there, but yes, I'm not entirely a scientist myself. The key thing is, guys, the OECD report in its conclusions, or its conclusion remarks, indicates that there is a supporting view that markets fail to generate sufficiently large incentives for firms to undertake research and development, and that firms consequently underinvest in R&D from the social perspective. That one sentence, which is a positive in terms of telling you must have an active research and development sector, lends to the next discussion that I'm going to fall into for the last 15 minutes of today's show, which is when the private sector was left alone to try and look at their own R&D component, the private sector had no motivation for redirecting resources to focus on R&D. Remember, in a private company, I'm not talking about an SOE, in a private company with shareholders in it, where no one of them are government, where they all are private, or they have one owner or ownership or a holding company that they have to report to, that research and development project ultimately will take a lot of time. A lot of time. I stress again, a lot of time for R&D to actually pay off for the company on its own. But what the OECD are saying, if a government comes along and says, we will provide you the most conducive environment that will allow you to have an R&D component. For example, let's say if it was a key thing like saying, listen, we will relax on a specific tax or various specific tax components that your company has to subscribe to or has to comply by. If you have a research and development division or department, we can restructure, or we can take a look at relaxing some of those taxes that your organization has to comply with. If your company aims to produce or has a very successful R&D scenario, there can be a relaxation in terms of you, the private sector, partnering up with various actors in the public sector. This can be anyone from a local authority to a tertiary institute, to a ministry, to a government ministry, to an SOE as well, in order to take the research and development component ahead. I mention that because this is the exact reasoning that the OECD provides. And it's the same message that resonates through to the 4IR task force from earlier today in their motivation in terms of describing what their recommendations were looking at. Because they did identify issues, and some of the issues is what they reflected back in their recommendations. Now remember, earlier today, I first show you the recommendations and then the issues so that you can understand how everything, flowed. But let's understand this key component. R&D, although it has a supporting function, it is a sector on its own. And I'll point out one to you just before the ad break that is creeping up on me, because it's key to understanding the scenario of, well, much of the misunderstanding regarding the COVID-19 pandemic. I'll show one to you right now, but before that, let's quickly head into the short ad break.
Paratus Mobile LTE. Everything you want, whenever you want it. Start uploading, downloading, liking, and sharing all your experiences with the world. Starting from $345 Namibian per month, excluding VAT for postpaid. Get online with high-speed internet the way you want it. Visit paratus.africa/NA for more information. Always prepare.
Paratus. Hello, Namibia. Indirapa manate ruyuni walelape. Lelape onkaro ompu womafutiro nokuthisa ngoka haguningwa pamkaro gongodi hokatovuru okutuminako omatumaraka goe agehe na ngoka gopaipindi notaga dhanwa nokutuma mombepo ethimbo ojo tunjoka. Otovuru okuninga shike ko lelape. Otovuru okutura omatumaraka goe mombepo torongisa oka epa ko Eagle FM nenge ka imba nenge hoka ka lelape nenge utire moshifo sho The Villager ni kwao ya gwedhapo. Otovuru okuninga omafutiro goe. Otovuru ishe okuturako omatumaraka goe giinima ya yoroka. Ngashi omatumaraka gorukozi, omatumaraka gomahio, omatumaraka gomaharero ya mbeko gomavaro, nomatumaraka gokwarukehe ngoka wahara utseithire oshigwana ashihe shomoNamibia okuza owarapo $3 niithilinga itano metumaraka kehe. Lelapay oharongo ngiini? Konga oka epa ko Lelapay ko Play Store nenge ko App Store eto katura kakarekeli mongodhi yoye. Paturura o account ae oshari eto turamo omauthemba goe. Inda kokanjato koe kiimariwa eto turako oshimariwa to udhitha shoka topurwa uudhithe. Shampa wa mana okuturamo omauthemba goe hogorora kutya owahara okurungitha ehangano nenge ovendaini o Eagle FM nenge o The Villager. Rongekidha etumaraka joe eto thindi mpoka pashangwa send utume. Shampa watumo etumaraka joe otariturwa ko Eagle FM imba Lelapay nenge ko The Villager. Ouna ishwe ompito yokuturako irongwa moyoe yokomake. Tumina inima we ko digital.etomalite.com notai urikwa menderero. Opo ukare waguza kukara ndithi, tudengera nena kono rahetatu imwe mbari nora ndatu ngoi hamano ndatu ndatu nenge kono rahetatu imwe ndatu mbari hetatu 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 ne no nora yeriari. Lelapay imo nena nena. App Store, Google Play Store.
Now, as we come back for the last sort of like last stretch of today's session, remember, guys, we still have tomorrow, but please keep your questions in terms still for tomorrow, because the research and development component is a key one. It's a key one because the main thing here is it's actually something I've even overlooked. Well, listen. That's what life is all about. We learn something every day. Whether it's through a proxy like me and also the discussions that we have here on Eagle FM, we provide you with those in-depth discussion points so that you can see, oh wow, so this is something I did not know. Now, the R&D component, or R&D itself, let's face it, guys, it's not something that's going to happen like overnight. it's also not something that's actually gonna, you know, the process itself will not be something that you will see most probably being rolled out in the next 2 weeks or 3 weeks, because there is a whole process that has to be that first has to be put in place, that first provides a supporting environment or conducive environment that then takes R&D ahead. Because currently we've only got a limited R&D capability that is in most cases isolated towards certain companies and also the universities in our country. The reason for that is, guys, well, most probably, I do not know if it's a concept that people, we did not pay attention to the importance of R&D, or whether or not R&D was just like, you know, by the way, a concept of by the way, you know, just saying, okay, right, just like that, by the way. But where R&D has been supported, or where there had been a conducive environment being laid or being sort of like constructed for everyone to participate in, it has brought forth rich returns for many of the developed countries. I say rich returns because in most cases, historically, R&D has led has actually led to the benefit of the military complexes of most countries. And I know I might be veering off into a historical context, but this is the truth. From as far back as the Napoleonic Wars, leading up into the 21st century, a century wherein various developed countries that have all participated on the grand scheme of the theater of war, all of them had repurposed the R&D component towards their armies. Now, I hope that's not what we aim to do. I really hope. Because most technologies that you see now around yourself, for example, like cellular phone technologies, Bluetooth, the internet even, all of that was geared towards a military complex in one other way. Satellite navigation that you find on your phone through Google Maps and all those other components, the things that first came about from what? Military complexes. Now, it's key to note here, guys. It's key to note here. I hope this is not what we will be aiming to do, to boost a military industry. I hope not. But the key thing is that we are trying to get into a fourth industrial revolution drive, into a fourth industrial revolution. Well, sort of like space, if we can put it as space, if we can put it like as a space or a category, because that will still take a lot of time. If you had rapid developments, for example, like a company like Sony. Yeah, Sony, the guys that own PlayStation, that own Sony Pictures, that own Sony Music. Sony started off as a company that made screws. You would not believe me, guys. If you had to look at some of the history of some of these big companies and multinationals in the world, R&D is what assisted them. And it was R&D, unfortunately, once again, falling back into the military space or the military complex. But there's another sort of like good thing that was mentioned. Was how research and development can assist us in this green hydrogen drive, this green hydrogen component, this green hydrogen vision that we want to achieve. Because most of the R&D now, what the fourth industrial revolution team or task force had looked at, was a component of finding a green energy solution or working in the space of green energy, which is supposed to be the energy of tomorrow, which is supposed to provide our, or to be our super energy solution, or a super solution for energy. Yeah, just needed to add in one word. Now, it's key here. First off, it'll help us leverage what we would need for green hydrogen energy. But the main thing here is the knock-on benefits that will help the broader space and sector of research and development. The broader space and sector of research and development has to look at providing data, decision-making, information that will help most industries in our country. Potentially also bring it back up, because the leader of the task force, Professor Peters, she herself said up to a specific year, Namibia had a healthy level of R&D on the continent in comparison with countries of similar standing. I don't know what they used. This would potentially be that we're all just on the same continent. But these would be countries that had various kinds of services and foundational, you know, infrastructure already put in place, meaning they would not have first to bring those services in before we can get into looking at other developments in a broader societal sense. And Namibia was fairly balanced. Not to say we were in average positioning on the continent. Not bad, not great, just there. We were just there. You know, there. But she said it stalled, actually. And this is a key phrase that she used. We stalled. It just stood still. So that means at some point, we've got to revisit, we've got to recapture, we've got to re-strategize in order to get back to the research and development that we did, that we had, that we were in charge of, that boosted our economic activity. Because let's face it, guys, it's a forgotten thing that you and I, we would not have from the get-go ever identified as a key and important supporting or facilitation sector in our country. But it actually is. I mentioned to you the mismatch in terms of those students that I met from that are marine biologists or qualified marine biologists. I'm just using a blanket an umbrella term for them, because I keep forgetting the course that they studied. They all studied at the same department here in Namibia. They all came from the same department, so they all are alumni in one or other form. Well, some might be more senior than others, obviously, but they all came from the same department, from the same production unit. But, there's always a but. There's always a but. But, it's all about linking them in with the rest of the industry, with the rest of the economy, with the rest of the economic activity. Now, I am preempting for tomorrow night's session in terms of sharing with you already where we'll be taking this fourth industrial revolution component. We'll be heading into an education discussion. I stress this because Peters, once again, and I'll share a little bit just, you know, for us to revisit and to sort of resuscitate ourselves for tomorrow night's discussion. I'll share with you that one specific part, that audio clip, where Peters says they realize there's a major disconnect. A major disconnect in the entire educational sector. This starting from as little as primary school, heading up as far as the university level. Now they will be played, I will share them in three components because we have to structure this properly. No, I won't go secondary, primary, and tertiary. No, I'll go in terms of looking at what they identified and what they realized, because R&D fits into that component of the education scenario. And then also the skill sets, wherein Namibian businesses, entrepreneurs, CEOs, business leaders, all of them, had a look at the skill sets out there. And also what one of her recommendations pointed towards. But from that component, it does bring us up to the end of today's discussion here on your number one talk radio station. The matriarch is making an entry. But before we sign out for today's session, in terms of understanding where we have to look at, where we've got to look at for research and development, Look, guys, it's something key for you and I to understand that you and I, we won't be actively participating. There will be people and investments that will be made into that sector, but that sector aims to help where you find yourself. If you are in transport, it'll aim to help transport. Any research developed there, any development based upon the research there, will aim to help the transport. Similarly also, I don't know if it's going to happen for journalism and media communication, but it most protected, most obviously will assist technology in one other form. And then you can just, you know, sort of like amplify it or knock it down on terms of any other sector in our country. On that note, this has been your Business and Economic Zone. Stay tuned for the rest of your programming.
So, jy het dit gedoen. Jy het jou laat besny.
Jep,
dit was baie dapper. Was dit nie vrek seer nie?
Dit was net so effens seer, maar dit is die moeite werd om myself teen seksueel oordraagbare infeksies te beskerm. En dit is soveel makliker om skoon te hou.
Wel, as jy dit so stel, dan moet ek dit dalk ook laat doen.
Bra, dit is die regte ding om te doen. Man Up, kry 'n besnyding. Om 'n gratis besnyding te bespreek of om meer uit te vind, stuur 'n WhatsApp boodskap na 081-309-2729 of besoek ons Facebookblad by VMMC Namibia.